We're going to stay right here, Rob, and welcome in Chase Michelson. And he was host of this show 2 weeks ago, did a great job from Las Vegas. Of course, he is at the Westgate Superbook and getting ready for Super Bowl 57. How many props are you going to have on the line for this, Chase?
I don't have the exact number. It's definitely in the neighborhood of 450.
Wow.
There's some uncertainty with the Kansas City receivers. So a lot of what we would normally, not a lot of, but some of what we would normally have up, we don't have up yet because we don't know who's going to play.
You know, I'm very tempted to do something I've never done before, and that is to bet every prop. That's a lot, 450.
But if you put you're a rich man, Jack. I don't know what the issue is.
I mean, you're not going to lose every one.
True.
You know, you're going to win 200 and lose 250, or win 250 and lose 200.
You can't lose them all.
No, you can't lose them all. But
that's what this town was built on.
Yeah, right. That's why they built those big, shiny buildings. I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you did that, and say you bet $5 a game, or $5 per prop, could you even keep track of that during a game?
Would be pretty difficult. I mean, we got a whole staff of people keeping track of it during the game to make sure that everything gets graded correctly, right? You know, Isaiah Pacheco's first rushing attempt goes down as a 4-yard rushing attempt and not a 5-yard rushing attempt and things like that. If you're inclined to do that kind of thing, to bet every prop, you can't do it tonight. I know that. Only two at a time, then back of the line.
Oh.
But, you know, we've got a long way till kickoff.
Yeah, I have an idea, Chase. You know, I'm always trying to do other people's work for them or give them more work to do.
Yeah.
And what would it be like if a casino, I think you'd probably get some good publicity for this. What if you said that whoever hit on the most prop bets from Super Bowl 57 would get $1,000 in free bets? And you would have, I think, a lot of people trying to do that because it'd be an honor. It's something you could put something up on the wall there at the sports book. You know, this is your winner from this year, the most prop bets cash from a Super Bowl. And you might not have anybody try to bet all 450 and be as crazy as I am. But you would have guys who would try to, you know, hit more than they normally would and bet more than they normally would. And the more money that's bet, the better it is for Westgate, right?
Yeah, that's true. We do have a prop contest. I don't think you're betting all 400, but you can bet significant amount. I don't know the exact number offhand. And then, you know, the one with the best record there does win a prize, but it's not every prop.
Yeah, and would you say most casinos are offering the same menu of props?
Not the same. Definitely not the same. I mean, it's grown so much. But this is sort of a little bit of Las Vegas history and to, you know, toot the horn of the place I work at. But the Hilton Superbook, as it was known for a long time, in many ways is credited with inventing kind of the modern prop menu that we see now with a lot of places. You know, it is everywhere now, and certain places will go up at certain different times. We go live at 7 o'clock Pacific tonight with 400-some-odd props. But that work was done the last couple of days, and I was lucky enough to be part of that. So that was definitely a new experience. I don't know if it was quite as intimidating as hosting the show, but it was its own kind of challenge.
How many people on the team there working on this?
Your main people would be the two vice presidents, one of which was on the show 2 weeks ago, Ed Sammons and Jeff Sherman. They're running everything. Okay. And then there's a few younger people that are, you know, learning at the feet of the masters. So it was five people, mostly, okay, working on that.
So how many of those 400 or 450 prop bets did you come up with?
Well, we all work on all of them.
Okay, so it's everybody, not an individual thing. You're
no, everybody's together. Input is taken into account, and then we go gotcha. With whatever Ed said.
Okay, all right. What about the line for the game? We saw such dramatic swings, probably more resets than I can recall for that Kansas City-Cincinnati game. And now the Eagles are 1.5, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that Kansas City-Cincinnati game was a unique situation because you had a quarterback that's a star, that's maybe the star in the league right now, that was going to play. Everybody knew he was definitely going to play or almost certainly going to play, but there was no real way of knowing how effective he would be. So I think that helped account for the big swings of the line. And as the week went on and he was practicing, that felt like a good sign for his ability to not only play but play well, which he did, which I think is why you had sort of the later surge of Kansas City money after an initial Cincinnati push. This game's a little bit different. I mean, I think everybody knows Mahomes will play in this game. You would think an extra week or 2 weeks, but an extra week of rest will help his ankle as we're getting closer to the timeline that normal humans would be coming up to play in this game. But Philadelphia looks really impressive again. And obviously, this time they'll face a quarterback who actually has a working right arm, which that's a challenge in itself. But I think there's sort of split opinion because on one hand, the public loves betting Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's a successful recipe over the last 4 or 5 years, for sure. But on the other hand, the public is usually more likely to bet a team that's coming off a blowout win, like Philadelphia, and that's looked like the most impressive team, certainly in how their games have gone. So there's some split opinion on this. But, yeah, right now it's at Philly 1.5. It's come down a little bit. But I think it will settle in this range over the course of the next week or so unless something changes, some sort of health-related thing. But I think at this point, I think you probably will kick, with Philly less than a field goal favorite. I would be surprised if it got to 3.
As someone who bet Philly early, September, actually, and got a great number, I thought then, I kind of like the way this team looks. Take a chance before they rip off a winning streak, and that's exactly what they did. So obviously I have a kind of a vested interest in this game, maybe more than I have in most years, but I'm watching the way Philly plays and I'm not sure I see a lot of weaknesses. I think the pass rush is terrific. I like the receiving core. I like Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. And I think Hurts is an underrated passer. And I look at all the ways that they can affect the team on the ground, and I was very impressed with the way that the Eagles ran the ball against the 49ers, and I think they're going to be able to run the ball in Kansas City.
Yeah, Philly's lines all year, and we know, obviously, the Chiefs are built in the trenches, and they've been probably the two best lines in football for most of the season, which is why they are where they are. And I think that's reflected in Philly being a favorite. The problem, of course, is that Philly doesn't have 15. So that's why it's not a field goal or more. I think most quarterbacks would be a field goal or more underdog in this game. If you look at the sort of relative quality of the two teams outside of the quarterback position, I agree. I think Philly has an advantage in more spots than they don't. But the most important one is quarterback, and I think at this point the perception is that Kansas City has the advantage there, bad ankle and all. I mean, some of the throws that Mahomes made against Cincinnati were You don't see those very often from anybody.
We're talking with Chase Michelson, an intern, did an outstanding job for us at Ebling Media, and also a sports editor of the State News, contributor to the Detroit Free Press before he headed west to start his real career. Chase, what's the biggest swing you know of in terms of resetting a line after an injury? If you found out that a key player, an MVP player, wasn't going to be able to play, what's the biggest the line has moved?
Well, lines have moved with quarterback injuries, you know, in the neighborhood of a touchdown. Depends on who the starter is, who the backup is, and what the conditions are. If it was confirmed that Chad Henne was going to start this game,
yeah,
what I said about it not being a field goal, that would change. You know, if the backup is a guy that's been on the cusp of starting for a long time or something like that, you might have a different thing. But the difference between Patrick Mahomes, who I think the perception is that he's lifting a team that's probably not really Super Bowl quality.
Right.
Outside of him, against a team that in Philly that we said is the most complete team in football, that would have a huge impact on the line, and we would be north of a field goal.
Would it be north of a touchdown?
It would be in that range, but okay. In this day and age, the kind of action that we see, I think it would be very difficult to get north of a touchdown. It's hard to get north of a touchdown in a modern Super Bowl. It used to be very common.
Yeah.
Back in the old days. But the current market conditions, there's just a lot of people that would sort of blindly take seven, bet an underdog in that situation, almost regardless of circumstance.
We think back to Super Bowl III, of course, and Joe Namath with this poolside proclamation, and then the Jets winning that game 16-7. Do you remember what the spread was for that game? It's kind of
I want to say 18.5.
Yeah, close to that.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think it started at 16, and then somebody said, "Well, now the Colts are really mad," and you know, maybe it moved up a little bit, but Colts didn't come close to scoring 18 points in that game. And when you think about other big margins for a Super Bowl, when's the last time that a team was favored by more than a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. Because I don't – it may have been another team that lost – because I want to say that 2007 Patriots team was in the neighborhood of a touchdown over the Giants, but I could be wrong about that.
No, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that was, again, you know, not before my time. I was on this earth, but I wasn't in the business yet.
Yeah.
That I thought you were going to say that Colts team, you were going to mention the Michigan State quarterback that couldn't get more than 7 points.
Earl Morrill, who went on and, you know, he was a tremendous player that year. You know, talk about MVP caliber player, but had an awful day. Johnny Unitas, who's one of the most legendary quarterbacks in football history, came off the bench and rallied him a little bit, but it was all Jets all day. And it's funny because Earl Morrill then had a similar relief role with the Dolphins, but when it came time for the Super Bowl, the same coach, Don Shula, said, okay, we got Bob Greasy back, and it's not often you find a guy who has led you to through a perfect season get benched, but hey, Bob Greasy is a Hall of Famer, so you could understand that a little bit, and Dolphins won that game 14-7, right?
Well, yeah, it was a difficult decision for Don Shula because you either had Bob Greasy handing off or Earl Morrill handing off. And, you know, those are the kind of decisions that keep a Hall of Famer like Don Shula up at night. They weren't throwing the ball much in that game no matter what. No. The only throw that they had didn't go very well.
Well, you know, they had a Hall of Fame receiver in Paul Warfield.
That's true.
But didn't have to do much. And then, of course, Garo Yepremian, the kicker, a former Lion. And I still have a handmade tie from Garo Yepremian that he made me. So it's funny. He wrote a book called Tie Maker, Tie Breaker, based on field goal he kicked that beat Kansas City in one of the great games of all time.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, that's right, yeah. The Ed Podolak game. But he's not much of a passer, I can tell you that.
No, it does not remind you of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. In terms of other NFL action, we've got some coaching moves. What do you think the Sean Payton impact is going to be in Denver?
We were talking about that, obviously. The news broke when we were in the room working on props, and we were talking about, okay, how does this impact Denver, and what do we need to do with their odds, things like that. And, I mean, it's just hard because Sean Payton's obviously a really good coach, but I don't really see what the path forward is for Denver. No matter if you could have Sean Payton, Don Shula, Vince Lombardi, God. I mean, I just don't know. They have no picks. They just gave up the rest of their picks. And their quarterback is coming off having a horrible season, and he's not getting younger. So, I don't know. I guess the obvious argument, if you're a Denver fan, you can talk yourself into, is that it's one of the all-time coaching upgrades going from Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton. And hopefully Sean Payton can help Russell Wilson rediscover himself. And they have a talented cast of receivers. But this is the team. It ain't going to get better because they have no leverage or room for it to get better. People talk about how the Rams went all in and it resulted in the Super Bowl championship. Well, I think Denver is going all in, and I don't know if I see that path.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson had a Super Bowl win and probably should have had two before his trade. Matthew Stafford did not. Any chance that there could be a revival and that we could get some more Russ cooking?
I mean, anything's possible, but I don't know. I mean, to me, in the NFL, the way that you get better is by basically getting younger, which is what we're seeing with teams like the Lions. I don't know how you get younger without picks, and Denver just gave up the rest of their picks. So, I mean, yeah. You're looking at a team that's like the Clippers back in the day. Like, they're just not going to pick in the first round forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's really hard to replace aging talent. And like, you're in a division that's so difficult and so competitive as is, right? Obviously you have Mahomes and you have Herbert in that division, so that's hard. But even if you get into the playoffs, which seems like a tall order, I just don't know if they have the depth necessarily to compete in an AFC that I think is pretty good at this point. I mean, I think obviously Cincinnati, we know where they are, we know where Buffalo is. Kansas City's not going anywhere with Mahomes, Herbert, Lawrence, my Dolphins, Tua, cleared concussion protocol yesterday. That's good news. Hopefully everything, all the extremities working.
Temporarily.
Yeah, well, that's not nice.
What about Tom Brady? Can you get a bet down whether he sticks to it this time?
I think he probably sticks to it this time. We've seen guys have trouble walking away before. But I think at this point, he's probably sticking to it. He's an elder gentleman. So I don't want to say anything disrespectful about my elders.
So who quarterbacks the Bucks next year?
That's a good question. Jimmy Garoppolo?
Okay.
Derek Carr.
He's been a
I don't know. I mean,
backup before. That's possible.
I don't know.
I'm throwing out Derek Carr. How about that?
Derek Carr is definitely a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. Where does Aaron Rodgers play next year?
Well, not San Fran. That's what he said to Chet on the golf course today. I don't know. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. Davante Adams, his former teammate in Green Bay, was answering questions on Twitter, and they asked where you're going to be or what neighborhood Aaron Rodgers is moving into. And, you know, Davante Adams said mine. So maybe Aaron Rodgers' house sounds in at Summerlin or Henderson or one of these areas out here. And, you know, maybe he could be a Raider. But there's some buzz, I'll say that. People here want it. Obviously, there's speculation that the Jets are looking into it. But there's some Raider fans in my life that are excited at that possibility.
Hey, maybe we don't do these big trades in the NFL, but what about Aaron Rodgers with the Raiders and Derek Carr with the Packers?
I think the Raiders will probably have to throw something in for that. But, I mean, we saw a pretty successful quarterback swap with Detroit and the Rams a couple years ago. I think in many ways, I think probably both teams are somewhat happy with what happened. Obviously, the Rams won a Super Bowl.
Right.
But I think Detroit has the building blocks for their next push at the playoffs. I think would have been difficult without that trade. And Jared Goff, I think, in many ways, overperformed in Detroit. So, yeah, why not?
All right. When we come to you next Thursday, you're going to have a prediction. You're going to have this whole thing broken down.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have everything. How many yards each of the running backs will have, right?
Gambling's easy. I don't understand what the big deal is.
This is the second biggest weekend in Vegas coming up. Is that right?
It's definitely the biggest single day.
Okay.
It's probably the second biggest weekend total because between the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that make up the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, that's a lot more action, obviously. That's 48 games as opposed to one. So there's probably more total handle over the course of those 4 days. But the biggest single day, absolutely.
One of the few things I've never had a chance to do and I've wanted to do in covering sports, and part of it I blame on Tom Izzo because Michigan State's always been in the tournament. But at some point, I'd like to get out to Vegas for that weekend and just see what that's like. And I can't imagine what the sports book would be like with all these buzzer beaters and things going on, so many different games at one time. It must really be a trip. So maybe I'll see you out there 1 year for that.
It's a fun time. You should come out here.